Well, this morning I would invite you to grab a Bible with me, and we're going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to read Acts 2, verses 42 through 47 in a message called Called to Connect. So beginning with Acts 2, verse 42. And the Word of God says this: "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." Amen. I realize today that we are lamenting many things that have been affecting us through this COVID-19 pandemic. We lament all the death and the terrible suffering that this disease has caused in so many people's lives. We lament the fact that it has affected economies around the world. We lament the fact that it has interrupted plans right and left in our lives that have to be changed. We lament the division and the schisms that this disease has caused as we've tried to decide, are we overreacting or are we underreacting? We lament the fact that we have to stay 6 feet apart and distance ourselves, that we have to wear face coverings, and that we can't do the activities that we long to do so much in our lives. And as Christians, we particularly lament the fact that there has been a disruption to our gatherings together, such as today, not being able to gather together in corporate worship in these wonderful church facilities. We lament that we can't get together for the larger Bible studies. We lament the fact that we've had to have changes, even this weekend in our youth camp because of the COVID-19. We lament the fact that it's disrupted so much of our children's ministry. We lament the fact that we are not able to have our usual Christian connection. And so the irony is not lost on me today that as we continue our series, Next Steps in Following Jesus, that we're going to talk today about staying connected. And I planned this sermon series a long time ago, and you might think, well, let's just skip this one, Pastor, because we can't connect like we usually connect. It seems like that might be a message for another time. But honestly today, I really think this is a message for us that's critical to our lives, especially today, to see the critical step of doing everything we can to remain connected and to express that connection as the body of Christ. To know that you and I are still connected in community, even as we cannot gather in the same ways as we're used to gathering. I want to look today at what does it mean to be connected as Christians? Why is it so important, and how do we take the next step in being connected to one another as Christians? And how can we see literally the blessings of being connected as the family of God? And we come to that today as we look at this wonderful passage here in Acts 1 and 2 of the church being formed so long ago. And I want to remind you what's happened up to this point in Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. For 40 days, he's been appearing to many people, teaching and preaching to them. And he's made many appearances. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, Jesus ascends into heaven, and he leaves his disciples on earth to carry out his mission and his message. They will go on to replace Judas as one of the disciples who had betrayed Jesus. And then you get to Acts chapter 2. And this wonderful moment where 120 Christians are gathered together in the upper room, and we have the disciples, the apostles there, And at that very moment, God the Holy Spirit comes in and into their lives of those followers. In that permanent coming of the Holy Spirit, it enables the creation of the church. The corporate people of God have received Jesus, and now they have received the Holy Spirit. And this enables the creation of the church that has gone on now for centuries up until us. God has formed the church. Peter, from there, goes on to preach this gospel of salvation. And in that wonderful moment, 3,000 souls are saved. 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. They are brought to Christ. The church of Jesus Christ has begun. Much to note about that church that we could share today. But one of the things that Luke does, first of all, is he points out that when that church is formed, it is made into a corporate community connected to Jesus, yes, but also connected to one another. And so beginning with verse 42, we look at the initial connection and the community of the church. The initial connection and the community of the church. In verse 42, the sentence begins with the word they. This is referring to the 3,000 saved souls plus the 120 plus the 12 disciples or apostles. And they therefore formed the church. And Luke tells us how they were connected. They were brought together. And notice something. It's interesting. They are not brought together because of a building. They are not brought together because of a facility. They are brought together because they are connected in Jesus. And as they're connected, beginning in verse 42, Luke tells us that they were continually devoted to some things. That phrase, continually devoted, there in verse 42, is actually one word in the Greek. It means to be earnest towards, to be constantly diligent, to attend to or adhere to closely. In other words, what they were doing was not haphazard. It wasn't a ho-hum, do it when we feel like it approach. They were diligent. They were highly committed. They gave their full attention and energy and commitment to these four things. And they are, first of all, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, or the word means doctrine. The apostles were hearing from God, and they were speaking then to the people. And later on, they would record that in what we have as the New Testament. So they were devoted to the word of God. Second of all, they were devoted to fellowship. The word fellowship, you may have heard before, means koinonia. It's the idea of partnership, partaker, or sharer. In verse 44, it's translated with the word common. The Latin translation is communis. It means in the English common or communion. But that fellowship, understand, is more than just being in the same room together. It's not just coffee and donut time, which I love, by the way. In the New Testament, it is the concept of community and connection. Fellowship means that anytime you gather together as Christians, you are expressing that you are united in Christ. They were continually devoted to that commitment to one another. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, this can refer to communion, the ordinance, the service we have once a month at our church to take some bread and some juice and commemorate the death of Jesus for our sins and his resurrection and his coming back. It can refer to the fact that they gathered together for communion. It can also include a meal that we'll talk about in a moment, or both together. And finally, it says in here in verse 42, they were devoted to prayer. Together, they were adoring God, they were communicating with God, and they were making supplication to God that his work would be done on earth as it is in heaven. They were constantly calling on God. So all of this is given to tell us, what did the church do as they were connected in Christ in community? But that further connection is expressed beginning in verse 43. The further connection is expressed. Luke in verse 43 says that the church was in awe of the miracles the apostles were doing. God was confirming his church that it was from him by these wonders and these signs that the apostles did for that time. They were worshiping literally the God behind the miracles. And then in verse 44, it says the connection they had was sharing together. First of all, sharing, notice in verse 44, by being present together with one another. Verse 44 says, all those who believed, notice, were together. Now notice something. The church that was saved, the 3,000 plus that came to Christ, did not say, this is awesome, we've come to Christ, and they did not go home and remain alone. They did not go to some silo somewhere and remain a Christian. They gathered, not staying separate. First of all, they gathered in the temple area, and then they gathered in each other's homes. And then verse 44 says they had all things in common. There's that word koinonia, or fellowship again, which means they had the attitude that whatever possessions they had was made available to share with those in need. In fact, in verse 45, it says they began selling property and their possessions, and they were sharing them with anyone who might have a need. This was not communism. This was not socialism. This was not communal living, but it was an attitude of saying, listen, we are connected to one another in Christ, and we love each other so much, and we care for each other so much that whatever we possess, really, we want to be able to share with others in need. Interesting that the Roman author Lucian, who was a pagan, wrote this in 200 AD about Christians. In 200 AD, he writes this. He said, it's incredible to see the ardor with which the people of that religion, Christianity, help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legislator, meaning Jesus, has put into their heads that they are all brothers. Yeah, that's right. Jesus told them, we share together because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then thirdly, notice in verse 46, they also shared meals together. Notice again, day by day reflects their devotion. They met in the temple in a large crowd. They had one mind together of purpose and direction and emphasis. And then it says in verse 46, they were breaking bread from house to house, which, by the way, shows that they still had private property. They still had their houses where they met together. Now, that meeting together could include communion, but it also says they took meals together. I don't know if they had potlucks, maybe some burgers in the backyard. I don't know how they did it, but they got together and they ate together. And notice again in verse 46, it's together as it is in verse 44. They were together. They shared food together, which really brings us together so often. And it says that they were doing so with gladness and sincerity of heart. They loved being together. They loved sharing that meal together and fellowship together and praise and worship together. They loved being connected. And here's what I love. In verse 47, it says, the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. It wasn't just affecting their fellowship and staying close together. They were actually, by their fellowship, sharing Jesus. And other people were coming into that community. They were being a witness to him, partly because of their gathering together and their being connected. Can you think of a more wonderful picture of what it means to be connected to one another? Now, it is said that the book of Acts has passages that are descriptive of what the early church did that was unique to them at the time. But it also has prescriptive parts to it that tells us that the church did this, and this is something for the church to do for all times. And oftentimes we kind of debate, is that a descriptive thing to do or a prescriptive or normative things to do today? For example, we don't have a temple to gather in as they did. We don't get together day by day, as it's a difficult thing in our culture. So that may be descriptive, but the prescriptive parts are certainly here. In verse 42, the devotion to teaching, the devotion to fellowship, the devotion to communion, the devotion to prayer. Rest of Scripture gives us the fact that those are prescriptive things, normative things, for us to keep doing today. But what is also normative is our sharing and caring for one another as Christians. We're called to continue to do that. And the other normative thing that we are to do is be connected to one another as our call as Christians. And we need to respond to the call to be connected. But what does it mean to really be connected? What does it mean to be connected as Christians? Well, first of all, it means we must recognize what we already possess. We must recognize what we already possess. Listen to this. If you are a Christian today, you already possess a position of being connected to other Christians. There is no option to say, I'll just stay alone. I won't connect to the other people around me, or I don't feel like that connection. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe in Him for the one who forgives you of your sins and gives you a right relationship with God, when you give your life to Jesus, you are joined to the family of Jesus as children of God. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. The Bible describes this as becoming one as the body of Jesus, literally. In Romans 12:5, it says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Ephesians 4:25 says, we are members of one another. Brethren, listen, there is no point in the New Testament whatsoever where it describes us as Lone Ranger Christians. We are not left off by ourselves. We are saved individually, but we are assembled in community. That's why Paul says in Romans 12:15 that when one of us weeps, we all weep. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. Our position is being connected in community. We are in Jesus who unites us as one. And every activity that we have that brings us together as Christians is simply a mirror of the reality, yes, you are connected in Christ. What does it mean to be connected as Christians? It means we recognize what we already possess. We're in Christ. But second of all, what it means to be connected as Christians is that we express what we possess. We express what we possess. In other words, we act out of our position of being connected. We do things to show that you and I are connected as the family of Jesus. We see examples here of the early church. They gathered, they shared, they cared, they worshiped, they fellowshiped, they prayed, they shared everything physically together. They had meals together again. Did you notice in this short passage that eating together is mentioned three times? That's pretty important. It reminds us that there's something special about eating and sharing food together. They were bearing one another's burdens. And this becomes the template, I believe, for the church today. It's our connection. We too are to gather. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I realize today that gathering together has been interrupted in corporate services on Sunday. But beloved, we will return to that. We're going to get back to that. I believe that with all my heart. We will get back to that. But listen carefully. We are not stopped from many other ways to gather to express our being connected. As one friend said recently, we are redoing the ways we gather for now. We are doing what I call creative connectivity. Creative connectivity. We can gather together still. You can, maybe you're doing it today. You can watch this worship service and engage in this worship together with your family or maybe your extended family. Someone shared with me this week that they actually got together with their family and there were four generations of the families extended gathered together in worship. You can get together with Christian friends that you feel comfortable gathering together and in a safe way to say, we're going to worship God together as we gather together. Our Christian director, Christian family director, Angie, has been on Zoom with our fourth and fifth graders to say, we're going to stay connected. Growth groups, I know, are having outside barbecues. Women are having Bible studies over Zoom. There's nothing that stops us from saying, I'm going to get together with one or two people and pray together and read the Word of God together or start a Christian book club. Our young adults are gathering together. Our young ministry and youth ministry are gathering safely together. The point is, we can creatively gather together. We can still share with others in need as we hear about that need, and we can go to their house and perhaps do yard work or meet their needs in some other way. What we possess in Christ is what we need to express together. But there's also another point here, and that is taking a next step in being connected. Taking a next step in being connected. If this is what we're supposed to do, how well are we doing it? How well are we expressing what we possess? Are we living our lives as Christians in a minimal or maximum connection? See, what I love about the early church was they were all in their devotion to Christ and each other. Notice again, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves together. So the question for us is, how much am I engaged in the call to be connected with my fellow Christians? To honestly ask ourselves questions like, the church maybe not be gathered here today in worship, but when it gets back together again, how much will I connect? How much did I do it before this all happened? How am I sharing and sacrificing for fellow Christians? In 1 John 3:17, it says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Are there needs out there that I can go out and meet of those around me, even my neighbors and community? How much am I doing hospitality with fellow Christians? When was the last time I had other Christians to my home? And I know we can say, well, with all the COVID, we can't. Yes, you can. If you do the right distancing and clean things out, you can do this. How often do I pray, worship, and fellowship with a believer, even over the phone? Our next step in following Jesus can be a greater commitment daily to say, I want to follow Jesus in connection to others. My fear, and I think the staff shares this with me, is that during this COVID-19, we will drift from Christian community. And so I urge all of us to pray against that. Be creative now to keep the connection, to keep the avenues of connection open. Beloved, don't use this as a time of excuse to say, well, I don't need to be connected. A log taken out of the fire will quickly burn out by itself. In fact, I think this is a season, a time for taking a step toward community and not away from it. Again, in this modern technology world, we have so many ways to connect. Telephone, FaceTime, Facebook, Instagram, all the other mechanical ways to connect. You can still join growth groups. Call Pastor Ryan up and we'll get you to a growth group. You can again gather in your home in a sort of house church setting, as the early church did, to say this is a time to pray and worship and read the Word of God together. We are called to be connected. And what might the Lord be saying to us today? Be creative. Here's how you can connect to the fellowship of believers. Please note this carefully. We should be so woven into the fabric of one another's lives as Christians that to leave that connection or to lack it should cause us extreme pain. Let me say that again. We should be so woven into the fabric of one another's lives as Christians that to leave or to lack that connection should be extremely painful to us. And that, my friends, is why it hurts so much that we can't gather in corporate worship. It's painful because we understand that fabric. May the Lord help us to take that next step to be connected. And finally this morning, I hope we see the blessings of being connected as Christians. There are so many blessings. One is the great joy to know that you're not isolated. You're not alone in your Christian walk. There is a family of believers around us who love Jesus. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I have a terrible home life, or I've had a terrible home life, and it's very dysfunctional. But the church is my family. There are those in this fellowship who weep with you right now, and yes, rejoice with you, who want to help you and care for you. You can't read this description of the early church without getting the sense of great blessing that they are together in Jesus. There's the blessing also of being in partnership, of being encouraged by one another and prayed for one another and supporting one another. There are those in this body who will bear your burdens with you. There are those who will pray with you and for you when you feel like you can't pray. There are those who will walk into your life, your mess, your self-inflicted consequences of sin when the rest of the world walks out. These Christians will walk with you through the darkest times because they love you in Jesus. They will stick closer than a brother or sister. The blessing of knowing that the church is the community of Christ, but also the blessing of knowing that we are the witness for Christ. I love the thought that the world looks at us right now and they watch us carefully. And if we're connecting and loving one another in Christ, it'll be a witness to them. This is what Jesus does for people. This is how Jesus changes lives. This is how Jesus Christ saves us and gives us purpose in life. This is what it means to be the church. The blessings of being connected. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, J.R.R. Tolkien has the character of the Hobbit named Samwise Gamgee. Samwise is the best friend and the loyal and faithful supporter of the main character, Frodo Baggins. And at one point in their quest, Samwise says this, I long for everything sad to come untrue. I long for everything sad to come untrue. In this COVID-19 time, there is so much sadness and suffering that you and I long to come untrue. Not the least of which is the limitations on our normal gatherings as Christians. But listen carefully. We know those limitations will never be an elimination of our connectedness in Christ. We know that these limitations right now will never be an elimination that we are connected in Jesus. We're called to connect, even if it looks different for now, it still remains all the greater time to connect as best we can and to take the next step in following Jesus, to be connected. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the amazing truth of your word that reminds us that we are connected in Christ. I thank you so much that it means that we are the body, that when one hurts, we all hurt, and when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And Lord, I know that we're scattered right now, and I know we have to work harder at it, but God, we know it remains the truth. We are the family of God. Oh, Lord, I praise you for the family of Eustic Baptist. I praise you for all my brothers and sisters that I miss giving hugs to and seeing. But Lord, we're still together. We're still your people, and we remain that forever. God, may you continue to encourage us in Christ as his body, as we remain connected. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.